For SearchSecurity.com, I'm Bill Brenner. You're listening to Security Wire Weekly for December 6th, 2006. This week, IBM acquires a compliance software firm, and security luminary Mark Lovelace joins us for a discussion on the latest security threats. But first, attackers are targeting a new zero-day flaw in Microsoft Word, and the software giant is urging users to be cautious when opening unsolicited file attachments. Microsoft said the limited zero-day attacks affect Microsoft Word 2000 and 2002, Microsoft Office Word 2003, Microsoft Word Viewer 2003 and 2004 for Mac, Microsoft Word 2004 version 10 for Mac, and Microsoft Works 2004, 2005, and 2006. In order for an attack to be carried out, a user must first open a malicious Word file attached to an email or otherwise provided to them by an attacker, Microsoft said, adding that a patch may be forthcoming. The French Security Incident Response Team described the flaw as a memory corruption error that occurs when malformed documents are handled. Attackers could exploit the flaw to execute malicious commands on targeted machines. In other news, IBM has announced plans to acquire Console Risk Management Incorporated, a firm whose software tracks employee behavior and unauthorized access for company records. Financial details were not disclosed. Big Blue said that the acquisition would become part of its Tivoli software unit. Based in the Netherlands, Console develops compliance and security audit software that businesses can use to track, report, and investigate employees, such as unauthorized activities by IT administrators or other users. In August, IBM announced plans to acquire Internet Security Systems Incorporated for approximately $1.3 billion. Next, my colleague Rob Westervelt interviews security luminary Mark Lovelace, senior security researcher for Vernier Threat Labs and author of several books on infosecurity. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Are you struggling to control the many aspects of messaging security in your enterprise? Keeping tabs on email security, instant messaging security, and mobile device security is a challenge for every InfoSec pro. But SearchSecurity.com's Messaging Security School is here to help. Each on-demand lesson is packed with tools and tactics to help you develop and implement an effective messaging defense strategy. Learn essential practices for securing mobile devices, study countermeasures for malicious email code, and gain the keys to safeguard instant messaging. Start your coursework today at searchsecurity.com/messaging. That's searchsecurity.com/messaging.
With me on the phone is Mark Lovelace. Mark is a security researcher for the Vernier Threat Labs. We're going to talk about mobile device security. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you.
Mark, how easy is it for a hacker to gain access to mobile devices?
Access, obviously there's the physical part, because most of these mobile devices they're on somebody's person, and so you'd have to actually gain at least close physical proximity to the device.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got that barrier. However, for someone that's just going after a mobile device, you could throw a rock and hit someone carrying one at almost anywhere. So it's you could say it's a target-rich environment.
Uh-huh.
So typically, if you have someone that's knowledgeable about how these mobile devices work, they should, and a hacker that's knowledgeable about how these things work, they should be able to gain access to most of them with their default settings on.
Is it, as more employees use mobile devices, is there more of an awareness of security for them?
Oh, no. No, not really.
Really?
No, I mean, the biggest, there's a knowledge of security when it comes to them being stolen or lost, because a lot of times they'll contain, you know, valuable data. And obviously, if I just, you know, if I just pulled one out of, you know, someone's backpack, or, you know, they left it on a train or something like that, and I just picked it up and grabbed it,
yeah,
assuming that there's no password that protects it from being accessed and the data is not encrypted, then there's no problem gaining access to it. So I think there's a level of awareness that, you know, this thing is, you know, important in the same way that my wallet is important.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, it's even more important, because usually, even though the stuff you carry in your wallet is fairly important, it could all be replaced.
Right.
You know, credit cards can be canceled, you can get a new driver's license, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of times some of the data you may be carrying on these devices is going to be a lot harder to get back.
It's got to be really difficult, no, for a company to really track who in the company is accessing via these mobile devices?
Yeah, for the most part, it usually is. I mean, they're usually your typical employee, so now everyone's got the you know, the Blackberries,
yeah,
and the other type of things. And they, not only they, a lot of people, they'll have like a desktop machine and a laptop. Or they'll have a laptop that they'll dock,
mm-hmm,
and then they have their, you know, BlackBerry that they'll be syncing up with their computer, and they have apps running on their BlackBerry or whatever handheld, so that they can, you know, remotely get to certain things, and so they've got data spread. Even if they don't have the data spread out all over the place, they've got access to that data as that individual spread out all over the place. You know, because they could be coming in via VPN, they could be coming in via dial-up, they're coming in via wireless, you know, from who knows where. Just all these different methods of access into that data. It's extremely hard to control.
Yeah.
You can do some things, like if you can, like, really lock down, if you can really lock down security on the desktop, And you have to treat and get that under control, you're at least ahead of the game, because then it's just a matter of managing the relationship between these mobile devices and the corporate system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can just, and that's, you know, I've heard of companies that do that. They say, well, you know, we're going to give, you know, they're trying to implement strict policy and they're getting resistance from users. They give users some of these mobile devices saying, okay, well, look, here's easy access to this, this, and this that you've asked for, email and, you know, contact list or whatever. We're going to lock down your desktop system severely. And they kind of tend to push the users toward these mobile devices to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, I can see why they would do it, because it limits the focus of what you can do. It just ties you to that little device, and it's a little easier to control from a corporate IT perspective.
Bluetooth. More people are using it. Does that mean that attackers are picking it to crack?
Yeah, Bluetooth actually is probably, there's been more attacks and more documentation on the nature of the attacks against Bluetooth than there has been Windows CE. Much more is out there on Bluetooth. You can, including like modifications to hardware to make Bluetooth attacking easier. Now, typically, Bluetooth has a range like, you know, I don't know, 10, 20 feet maybe,
yeah,
something like that. So obviously, you have to be physically close if you're using another normal off-the-shelf Bluetooth device. Now, I could, using some, you know, various high-tech equipment, and I can actually boost the range of my attacking device so that I can reach Bluetooth things from much farther away. The furthest I've heard is a mile, and someone basically had they are calling it a Bluetooth gun.
A mile. Wow.
Where they actually had a very high-powered electronic Bluetooth device that they were basically aiming. They had it mounted to a gun stock. It's kind of, and they could aim it, and they're like in one office building, and they're aiming it at another office building, and they're seeing Bluetooth devices in this other building. And I think those buildings were, I think it was like about, you know, half a mile away, three quarters of a mile away. So, I mean, there's some, now obviously you got to, you know, hold the device steady and all that, but nonetheless, I mean, the point being is that that is, because I got Bluetooth turned off on everything I have that's Bluetooth. And everyone I run into that I can, I just get them to turn off the Bluetooth stuff. Some of the early.
So that's basically your message. Turn it off.
Yeah, that's it. Turn it off. Don't use it. Don't use that little goofy earpiece thing. Okay, you think you look cool, but all it is just for me. All it does is says, you're carrying a hackable device. That's all it does for me.
And there's no protections really you can put in place for that. Huh?
No, just turn it off.
Well, Mark, we're out of time.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And that's Security Wire Weekly from SearchSecurity.com. The latest corporate security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at SearchSecurity.com/news. And you can download past episodes of Security Wire Weekly on our podcast page at SearchSecurity.com/podcast. I'm Bill Brenner. Thanks for listening.